my God, Savior, so me, like a flood, yes. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Amazing, Lord. Amazing grace. Amazing love. Amazing grace. I thank God for the love of God in my life. The reason I can stand here is because His love. Thank you, musicians. If it wasn't for His love, where would we be? But I thank you that He loved me enough to give His life for me. No love, I mean, it's greater than a friend that put his life for a friend. And He's our friend. Amen. This point, thank you. Okay, don't be so serious. It's not a funeral. Should be happy. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity and privilege that we have to come to the house of the Lord. Father, first of all, to seek you, to praise you, to worship you. Father, you are the one that deserves all our glory and all our honor, Father. And this morning, there's no different, Father. We have come seeking your face, your presence, Father, seeking your word, whatever you are going to do in our life, whatever you have purpose this morning. This is not something that happened by coincidence. This is something that you was predestined before the foundation of the world to be here in this service this morning. And Father, I know you have something you need to do with me. You have something that you need to do with each one of us. Father, let your purpose this morning be fulfilled. Father, I will set aside myself. I will throw myself aside. Father, and I know that you faithfully will come and speak to this vessel this morning. Father, and you know what everybody has need. And I know that you will meet that need this morning. Father, we are not here to check a box. We are not here to play church. We are here because we need you. We need more and more your word, Father, this morning. And that's why we are here looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord, and bless my brother, wherever they are this morning, Andy, and my brother Doug, Father. Father, give them the desire of their hearts, Father, this morning. And we ask you to be with your little bride as well around the world. Father, we ask you to be with Israel and be with our families, Father. Keep them and protect them, Father. We pray all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Let me read one scripture, then I'll let you be seated. Let's go to Philippians. The title of my, I don't know if I put a title in there, change, kind of a small change, but it's not that small. It's a big change. Amen. See what I put my glasses. Oh, I think I put them inside this one. There you go. So, Philippians, let me read the verse before that one. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then we shall change who, talking about Jesus Christ, who? This is the NIV, so forgive me. It may be a little bit different, but it's still the same. Who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. And I'm glad that he's in control this morning. And he's able to do that he promised us. Will transform or change our bodies. I don't know what word they're using here. The fashion. Fashion is also change. You know, to form you, to shape you, is changing you. And the word they use over is transform, because it's the same word according to the text that we're reading. Our lowly bodies, so that they will be like his glorious, so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen. You can be seated. So this morning we're talking about change. And that's something that I talked to you before and the last time when we're talking about transition. Last time I preached, we talked about change. That's something that we cannot avoid.
The whole life is a big change. You like it or not. So you get adjusted to it. I mean, you cannot be still. Even though sometimes we like to say, yeah, I'm standing, balanced, you know, I'm not going left or right. No. There's no potential zero, you know, absolute. As a human being, we'll be able to create a perfect balance. I mean, you can get a balance. It's always off either way. But you cannot stand still and you cannot be in the middle. You either go in one way or we either go in the other way. Why? Because changes will force you to go either way. And every day is full of changes. In fact, you live with changes every day. This morning I got up and, you know, I didn't get up. I just woke up and I look at my wife, beautiful face. And I said to her, you know, you saw me when I went to sleep, you kissed me. And now you saw me in the morning, the last one, the first one you see. Ain't you tired after 40 years? I mean, we've been doing this for 40 years. And you laugh, but you know what I'm talking about. But she's not tired of me. She must see something else that I don't see in myself. But something is changing. You know, I'm not the one that I used to be. I'm different today. I'm not the one I want to be yet. But I'm not the same. But because we see each other every day, you see these gradual changes, you know. But when I don't see you for a year and I see you in a year, then it's a big difference. We come together every week. And we look at each other and look like nothing is happening because we all moving at the same way, gradually. Amen. So we're not seeing any change. It's just like having two children that are twins or something. They're all growing at the same. And they look at themselves, they're not seeing any change because they are, you know. But you and I, we come to church and we look at each other and, you know, okay, yeah, how you doing, brother? Thank you, see you next week. But something is a-changing. Something is a-changing. I like that son that he didn't know what I was going to preach about. But his first song was Change My Heart, Oh God. I didn't tell him what I was going to preach. He didn't know. But sometimes, you know, the most powerful and meaningful thing comes from the Word of God. And that will touch your heart, my heart. And then it leads us forward to our potential. That's why we come to church, because I want to be changed. I don't want to be the same that came in this morning. I want to be different. So here the Word of God has the potential and the power to change that. And that's why we come to church. Not because we want to look at somebody else or we don't want to, check a box, but I want a transformation. And I know the Word of God can do that. Amen. This morning. So change my heart. Oh God, see? And this transformation, this change is gradually, you know, it's not from one day to the next, you know, it's a life process. I told you about processes. The process of change is transition. That's what's marked, transition in our life, you know, changes. You're in a transition because there's a change. A change brings a transition. And a problem, a test, that's what drive your transition. So anytime you find yourself in a transition, it's because there's a change. And you should be adjusted because that happens every day. Every day. So be patient and don't dismay. Just like brother was singing the last song, I won't let go until the fire. See, I won't let go until I'm changed. I won't let go until God will finish that he started on me. I won't let go. So don't dismay. You know, yeah, coming to church sometime, it gets kind of, you know, to church again. Just be faithful. Because God is doing something. Every time you come to church, God is doing something. And that something, one of these days, is going to end into the whole enchilada, you know, the rapture. You know, right now, you say, well, I don't know. I went to church. Yeah. But this is not for you to figure it out. This is for your soul. This is soul food. And this guy don't know what's going on down here. So just because you don't think something has changed, that don't mean it didn't. You will not live here the same person you came in this morning. So we're just going to hold on until the end. Let me read you what Brother Branham says over here. He says, let me put my... He says, oh, it is a new birth. See, I won't let go until that fire, you know, is burning. Not just burning, but it's consuming me. See, a change is not just a little bit of fire. It has to consume your life. This life has to be consumed. It has to die. And I won't stop until this life, this flesh life, is consumed. It's completely possessed by the Spirit of God. See, that's what I mean, just until it's on fire. You know, like Brother Brown says, a house on fire in a windy day. He says, they are afraid of that. See, the new birth is like any other birth. It's a mess. I don't care what kind of a birth it is. It's a mess. It is in a pig pen, or it is in the barnyard, or in a pink decorated hospital. It is a mess. So is the new birth a mess? It says, I will make you do things. It will make you do things you didn't think you ever do. But out of this mess come what? Life. So we need the mess. Life comes out of what? Death. If we cannot die to ourselves, there will be no life. It says, seed falls to the ground and it don't rot and it don't die. Life cannot come forward. We need to die to our ideas, to our feelings, to our thoughts, to anything that is God wants to exalt himself beyond the word of God. We got to die to completely 100%, not 90% or 80%, to ourselves. You want life? Huh. That's a paradox. Just die. The only good Christian I have seen is the one that is dead. The flesh is dead, not the Christian. Because it requires a death. But it's painful. Who wants to die? Everybody wants to see life. Everybody wants to see a miracle. Who wants to come over here and die of a heart attack so we can revive you? I will lay hands on you. Don't worry about it. No, who wants to be the first one? I don't see nobody running. Nobody wants to die. You know why? Because this thing right here that we call flesh, I mean, it has a hole. I mean, I don't care. It's been conditioning us for 40-some years, at least 60, 70 years. So it opposes. You know, this guy opposes to die. It's something that is in us. I mean, it's something that is to protect us as well, you know. When something happens, you know, the body protects itself from that. But we have to let go and let God take his way. And Brother Brown says, it's a mess, but it comes life. Hallelujah. That's it. Out of mess comes life. That's why Brother Brown one time he says, we have to get out of order in order to at least have some. You know, to get something. We don't have to come to church and be so starchy. I'm not talking about you guys. Talking about whatever church out there. You know, let's just turn our colors the other way, you know. Sometimes we have to get out of order. It says, life comes out of a mess. Life comes out of death. Now, what is a mess? A mess is a transition. You know, you have an end, you have a beginning, but in the middle is you know, confusion. See? And that's a mess sometimes. But don't worry about the mess, because the mess is going to bring victory. See? You need to look at things different this morning, because you're living... In fact, let me finish reading this before I get ahead of myself, because that's the problem sometimes. Let me change my page. Page 2. Let's see if I can. Here we go. It says, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But as long as it dies and rots, then out of that rottenness mess come what? Forth life. Until a man or woman is ready to die to their self. One of the things we have to die to our feelings. Well, I feel this way. Or I feel that way. Well, I don't want to be insensitive, but what did your feeling have to do with anything? Well, I like her because I feel like she's... But I don't like it because I feel like he's... what your feeling has to do with anything. You have to love them the same. Yeah, but she's so nice, but he's so pessimistic. It doesn't matter. Right? God has no respect of person. So what are your feeling has to do with anything? Hey, I got feelings, and they get hurt, but I don't let them control me. We got feelings, I mean, and I'm not talking that we don't have emotions, but feelings is what I'm talking about. So we get to a point like Naomi that was preaching before. We start blaming God. See, because we're going through a mess. And then what happened? We don't see the leading of God. We all so in our box, in our own mess, in our confusion, that we don't know if we're going or coming or up or down. So we are moving, and then we start using our feelings. See, that's this flesh. And we said, but where are you, God? Why? Even Jesus, why? You know? And we trust in our feelings? We can. See, feelings or not feeling, God said, I will never leave you. Or what? So it's your feeling that God left you in that situation. That's just your feelings. What else is it? So we have to overcome our what? Our feelings. And look at the Word of God. That's the only powerful and meaningful thing in our life is the Word of God. It doesn't matter how I feel. I know He never forsakes me, even though I feel like, where are you? I don't care if He don't answer me in a year. But I still know that's my feelings. And you got the right to feel the way you want to feel. Just don't let it control you. Don't let those feelings just... Okay, feel what you're going to feel. Tell God how you feel. Why, God? Why I'm going through this? But after you get all that done and get all that out of your system, then you say, your will be done. I don't understand what's going on, but I feel this way. But, Lord, I trust you. I don't know why they're doing this to me. I don't know why this is happening in my life. But nevertheless, I trust you. Because I don't want to trust my feelings. Feelings are kind of up and down. So, you know, you get up in the morning, you feel one way, and you go to sleep, and you feel another way, and, you know, like a yo-yo. Your life will go like a yo-yo, up and down, all day long if you want to. The only thing that is absolute, and the only thing that don't change is the Word of God. And you can bet your life, we don't bet Him, but you can put your life on that. Regardless what I do to you, regardless what I said to you, you always look into towards that Word. And he says, but alone as he dies and rot, then out that rottenness must come life until a man and a woman is ready to die. Are you ready to die? Is there anything left on you this morning? Come on. Okay, just me. I know Eli is still there. There's someone that, listen, if I was there, I would be gone. The rapture will happen for me. God has something else he's doing with my life. That's why you still see me here. See, and that's what I'm here, because I want God to show me what's wrong with me or what I'm coming short. Because you know what? I want to be changed. And when we all be changed, we'll be out of here. One thing about change is that changes are personal, individual. You have to change. I got to change. You got to change. But your change, it makes a difference in the body. See, it's not the body changing you. When you come to church, I cannot change you. This church cannot change you. But you got to change so the body can change. So it's what you bring to the church. It's not what the church is going to bring to you. In fact, you know, Kennedy said, you know, it's not what your country can do for you. But I'm going to say it the other way. You know, don't come to church expecting to see what we have to offer you. You need to come to church with an attitude. What do I have to offer the church? Because in my heart, don't want to offer this morning any beating. I'm dead. The body dies. And you guys and me all together, as we're changing, the local body is changing. That's why we said, you know, the dynamic change when you are not here. Why? Because you're part of the body. Your change is needed for the entire body change. So when you come to church, no longer look at the body. Look at your own body. Because your change will affect the way this body is going to move from now on. So stop looking at someone else. See, the change that you are seeking is not in others. You know what happened if you look at all the things for your change? What happened if the change happened to that person? And change is gradually. So that person is there. Boop, the rapture. You think you're going to have time to cut up with that change? No, you've been waiting. So we don't know how far you're back. See, you don't know how far you're back. Because we got to go progressively, continuously, moving all together as a body, as individuals, but as a body. So if we stay in the sideline and waiting for something to happen, that might happen, but not to you. It will be you far gone. So we don't look into others. Some people say, well, maybe I'll wait for that time. Change is not coming. You're waiting for any time. The Bible says time is no more. What time are you looking to? The time is today. The time is not tomorrow. The time is now when California falls and I'm going to get ready. The time is now. This is your opportunity to change today. Because the change that God will make in your life, it will affect this body. And you say, well, I don't know why this church don't move forward. I don't know why things are not happening. Look at your life. Don't look at the church. Don't look at the body. You are part of the body. And it's your responsibility to change so the body can change. That take your eyes off anybody else and puts it on you. So at least you don't have to blame me. I will blame myself. You don't have to do it. I can do that for you. The time is right now. You know? We are pioneers. You know that? We are the one that will not see death. Hasn't happened. I know Lazarus died, was resurrected, but he had to die again. This bride will not, it's going to go up. It's not going to die. We are pioneers. That hasn't happened for 2,000 years or 4,000 years since the earth began. So you are a special people because they are waiting for your change. They're waiting for your change. If you don't change, you know what happens? They are waiting. So there's no time. This is the time to change. This is the age to change. There's no more age. The baton is no longer going to be passed to the next generation. There's no other generation. This is the time. This is the age. And they are waiting on you. The creation is waiting for the manifestation of who? Of your change. Your change. If your change don't happen, well, I don't think we have 2,000 more years. This is it. This is the end. The change that you are seeking this morning is not in church. The change you are seeking this morning, don't blame me. The change you're seeking is not in the world. You know what the change is? In you. And if you don't change, nothing is going to change. We like insanity. Doing the same thing, coming to work, coming and checking the box, coming and do all this, and doing the same thing, and nothing happens. Why? Because there's nothing happening over here. So if we're going to put blame, let's put blame here. Okay? You are responsible for your change. How? Die. Die to yourself. You want to see a glorious church? Huh? Die. And let the Spirit of God take complete control over your life, and then you're going to see things happening. Until a man and a woman is ready to die to themselves, die out to their creeds, die out to their own, what? Ideas? Ideas are good. I'm not saying they're not good. You know, but don't tell God what to do. God must be laughing every time we make plans and we keep him out of them. You're going to do what? When? Where? Good luck. That's what happened to Satan when he went to, you know, when there were some, the children, the sons of God and God were assembling, and he went to the assembly. And he says, well, look at have you considered my prophet, Job? Yeah, the reason it's like that is because this, this, and this, and this. You protect him, you give him, you bless him. Look at him. He's the richest man in the world. I mean, he has everything. No wonder he loves you. And then he said, well, you can do anything you want to. But don't touch his life. So what happened? Brother Brannan is dramatizing. He says that God went like this and kind of smirked and looked at the angels and said, huh, he don't know why he's going to go against. And you know, and that is the same thing with you and I.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, sometimes we don't even know.
Right.
But it doesn't matter because God in us.
Thank you, Lord.
See, when Satan comes,
you,
he raises a standard.
Right.
You are the standard.
Right.
Satan is just a bluffer.
Right.
So, today the same thing. You want to see a church rising up like a mighty army that's going to tell, you know, nothing going to stand in her way.
Right.
Not even Satan. It's going to be destroyed.
Hallelujah.
You know? Then we need a change. We need a complete change, a mental, you know, a mind change. We're going to see that later. He says, glory, he says, out of the own ideas, out of the that rotten mess, bring forward a new birth of glories and shout and praises of God that make him act different.
Right.
We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, the difference. I want to know what the difference is. Don't you? Don't you want to know what the difference is?
Yeah.
You know, we continue doing the same thing because they tell us to do it, but sometimes, you know, Elliot, every time I talk to him, he says, why? He wants to know why.
Right.
I tell him, do that. Why? Why? Don't you know? Don't you want to know the why?
Right.
As long as we can know the answer for that. He says, changes. He says, God makes him act different. He changed his nature. Change his life,
amen.
Change his motive, and change his objective.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's a lot of changes going on in my body. And the whole purpose of this journey is to discover who we are and what we are.
Amen.
See? As we're changing, then we start discovering who we are and what we are called for and what the purpose. All those changes in us. Listen, my friend. The change that you're seeking is in you. Everything that you need to go from here to heaven, this message tells me it is already in you. The Holy Ghost, right? And if all that is in you, then you're not waiting for something outside to change you. Because the change is in you. But you need the things outside to drive you to that changes. See? God tells Satan, you go ahead because I know what I put on that boy. So whatever you're going to do, it's going to show you what is inside him. The change is already in you. It just, you need to go through the changes and the transitions so you know what is in you already. But if you don't, what happens? You never change. But if you are son of God, full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to every day. See, this is not a coming on a Sunday, on a Wednesday. This is at your home, at your work. You encounter all kind of challenges. You encounter all kind of trial. Why? So God can show you what is inside you. And that, it will take a change. Once the Holy Ghost show you and reveal you and give you a revelation, then your body starts assuming those things. But it has to be a change. And it has to be a transition. And it has to be a death. And nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. Die to ourselves. He says, so the whole purpose of the journey is to discover what is in you, Brother Henry. It's not to, let me see what life got for me. No, it's what I got for life. Because life is going to come at me and it's going to show what I am made up of. So when they come, the challenge comes and the trials come, I'm not going to boo-hoo. This is a big mess. Why, Lord, this, that. I know God is trying to show me something. Something that is going to be a benefit for my life. And it's going to be a benefit for the group, for the Bible. So why boo-hoo? Why complain? Why don't see God in those times? And ask him, examine my heart. If there's something that you're trying to show me, I'd like to know. Because it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference. I'm going to show you in a minute what kind of difference. I cannot cover all the differences, but it will make a difference. It will make a difference in the way you treat your brother. It will make a difference in the way you treat your husband. It will make a difference in the way you behave. It will make a difference in the way you converse, in your behavior. It will make a difference in your entire life. And that is how I know a change has taken over. See, you said, but I love God. I'm getting ahead of my thing. You say, I love God. Well, good. You said it. How do I know you love God? Let me rip you apart. You said it's in your heart. No. The way you behave towards me. Love your brother. If you love God that you don't sin, and you don't love your brother, you're a liar. Why? Because if you love God, that God has to channel somewhere. You think you can take the love of God and just keep it? It has to be manifested as Christian. So the way you treat me, the way you behave, the way you treat others, it show me how much you love God. Because God will not treat me that way. God don't treat you that way. Why would you treat anybody anyway? Besides the way God treats you. He forgives you. He loves you. He cares. He provides. So what are we going to do? So if you love God, by your fruits, I shall know it. Don't shake my hands. Don't look at me. Pass me by. I understand sometimes we're thinking so much. I do that. And sometimes, you know, somebody's waiting for me and my mind is, oh, I forgot. And I'll go the other way. I'm not trying to avoid you. And if you love me, you give me the benefit of the doubts. Because you want to have the benefit of the doubts. I made a mistake yesterday in the shop. I took an order, I don't know when, last week, and I put it in the wrong place, so we didn't make the cake. So here comes the lady. Oh, it's not the first time, don't worry. I've done it a few times. So I told the lady, sorry, made a mistake. This is what happened. She said, I understand. We still made a mistake. We're human. I said, thank you. So she left and made the cake within 2 hours, and she came and got it. But see, we all make mistakes. And if you want some people to understand you when you make your mistake, why don't you understand somebody else when they make the mistakes? Changes. We're talking about changes, okay? Changes. So that's the whole purpose. And to become better. We come to church, we hear the word to lead us to become better every day. Now, you are the only one that knows you have become better or worse. I know if my life is changing. My life will get testimony if it's changing. I'm not talking that we make mistakes. We do make mistakes. See? But your life will testify if there's any changes, you know, taking place in your life. It is you and the word of God. This is your mirror. So you look at this is the change book. So you look at the change book because everything is changed. Brother Ban just told you from 2004, everything is changed. Tomorrow is going to be a change. Yeah? A minute ago, the world already changed. Right. Everything is changing continuously all day long. So if this is a book of changes, what you need to be looking at this book is what's changing. When you read something, see those people in the Old Testament, Abraham, Ruth, you know, to the New Testament, all the way to Brother Branham, the life was full of changes. And I can see the changes right here. The types is here. So if I want to know where I am, then when I read my Bible, look for the change. What is God requiring of me? What do I need to change? Where am I supposed to be? It is a book of changes. And it will not stop until we change. Until the rapture happens. So, as long as you're reading this book, as long as you come into church, as long as you're still alive, there's changes. You cannot avoid them. The only way you can do is what kind of attitude you're approaching changes. Are you going to blame somebody else for your misfortune? Or you're going to say, Lord, I know this and I know that and I feel this way. Go ahead, tell him. And then at the end say, Lord, but your will be done. And then when he show you, and the Holy Spirit take that revelation and make it part of your body or your life, because that's what we want. We come into church because I want this word to become me. I want that word that is coming in here and drops in my heart to become flesh. And that is a lifelong process.
Yeah.
So don't get frustrated. Don't get impatient with your brother. I mean, you don't want people to get impatient with you. I still make mistakes, but I know I will be changed. I don't know where I am, but I know there must be some more changes. So don't get frustrated with me. Because if I do something to you, it's not intentionally.
Amen.
And if it is, then I apologize. But I don't wake up in the morning. The Bible said the sons of God do not commit sin. You know what? We don't wake up in the morning trying to process what I'm going to do to somebody. Vengeance. Or, well, I think I'm going to rob a bank today, Sister Cornelia. I need some money. I don't get up. You know, I'm going to do this to my brother because he's sure up. I got it for him. And he got it for me. No, that's me. I don't dwell in that because I'm a son of God. So what I do, I wake up every morning. Lord, what do you want me to do? God, this is the first hours, you know, of the day. What guide me and lead me, you know, to all the things that are right. And let me think the right thought because that's where everything starts. If you think right and you do right, things will come out right. See? And I'm talking about you being right and I being right because we are wrong. But if the thought is right and you voice the thought, it will have to come right because God will lead you. The Holy Spirit will lead you to that. Is that right? I better hurry up. We want to be better every day. Not only I want to be better every day, but I want to help others. You know, helping others, Brother Brown says. You can see heaven's door, windows open. So your responsibility and your service is not to help yourself. But if you are here spiritually and I'm down here, what are you supposed to do? Help the body. Show me, you know, where I'm supposed to be. When I see you, you know, let me mark you. Like the Bible said, mark those that, you know, that are doing the right things, the saints. Also mark those that are not, but we're not worrying about that bunch. We're all good by the grace of God. So, you know, that brother. Every time I see him, I like to be like him. You know, that's nothing wrong. Let me tell you. Paul says, follow me or imitate me as I imitate who?
Right.
If somebody here has that kind of an honor, there's nothing wrong to say, you know, I know I'm not putting my eyes in the person, but we all going to have to be. The end result is going to be the same for all of us. See? It's not like you're going to be different. No, we're different. We're all going to be changed by that word of God. So if somebody's ahead of me, you know, we need to look up to them. There's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. So I pray that this word, as we bring it this morning, inspire you and motivate you and encourage you and empower you to be all you can be this morning. Because the word will do that. But we have to let the word do that. God wants that. You have to let go and let God. See, this is something that we don't have to fuss or try or reason or logic, you know, or try to make it come true. We just need to let go and let God make the work that he already started in our lives. And I hope this word will encourage you and empower you to change this morning. That's all we are here. Change. Change. Life is all a big change anyway. You know, I woke up the other day and I'm 70. How it happens, I don't know. I miss all the changes. You know, life goes so fast that by the time you look back, you say, whoa, what did I do? Where did I came from? Where I'm going, you know? Because life passes. You think you have a long life. It's like a dust, you know. Philippians 3:21. I want to take the first part. Who shall change our vile bodies? Now, changes, to change the figure, to transform. I think I put it over there. That's the definition in the lexicon. So he will take our mortal bodies. In this case, we're talking physical change. I want to deal with the physical change for a little bit. Maybe I get to the spiritual change today or tonight. But changing our body to be like his, unto his glorious body. We saw his glorious body.
Right.
When he resurrected, he went up, came down, And he had a different body, a celestial body. It's a glorious body. See? Our bodies are going to be like his body. The Bible said one of these days, we're going to know as we are known by him. We're going to have the same kind of body. It won't be this one. It will be a glorious one like his. I don't know, Brother John, but he went through walls. I mean, that guy, you know, just moved like a thought. That is the glorious body that we are looking forward to. But we have to physically die or be changed. Whatever comes, we are going to have that glorious. That's our hope. That's our faith. He says to have a body like he had. And we had a glimpse of that, you know, when he came. He said, don't touch me, Mary. I haven't gone to my father. You know, he had to go and get his glorified body, his theophany and everything. We'll make that body. So change our bodies. He will take these bodies and will do that. Now, in Philippians 3:21, continue to the other part or phrase, that he may be fashioned, you know. So we're still being fashioned, we're still being formed, we're still being shaped. But the end result is to have a body like his body. See, that's what I'm keeping my eyes fixing in that. That my body, one of these days, is big like his body. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. That's all my goal is. Not only here in earth, but one of these days, it will change completely and I will be fully like him. In all sense of the word, being like him. My attitude and everything will change. It's changing right now. That's one of the things that I think some people are going to be kind of surprised. Because the change don't happen like I'm waiting for the rapture. When the rapture comes, I'll be changed. If you don't change right here, right now. It's a change that's not happening in your life right now. The rapture is not going to change you. So that's why you need to think about this hardly, because it is you that has to seek the change. And that change is in you. The word will help you. The preaching will help you. We will help you. But you'll have to look to seek that change in each one of you. Amen. That's why you cannot look at no one else. Your eyes have to be fixed in him. It says, to be fashioned, to be shaped, to be formed, to be changed unto his glorious body. We're going to do that in the rapture. Now, Philippians, I want to go to 2:8. And being found in fashion of a man, they're talking about Christ. He was fashioned. He took the form of a man. He took our form. He said, and he humbled what? Himself. He made himself a servant of all. Do you see where this change is going to take you? You wanted to know the why and the how? Humbled himself and became what? Obedience. Obedience to the word. See? And unto what? Not only death of the cross. You know, he has to. Just like you and me, he was tempted. He went to trial. And he had to die to that. Just like you and I had to do that. Die to our feelings and die to all the thought and all thing that comes every day. So he went to the same thing. In fact, that's why he's our advocate, because he knows what I'm going through. He has to die. Now you said, but he didn't make any mistakes. Well, nevertheless, there's two ways to be obedient. You can make a mistake and then you learn and you don't do it again. Right? Obedience. Like children do. Sorry. Okay, don't do it again. Okay. The obedience, right? Or you can be obedient by not doing it. Like Jesus. He was confronted with the same problem. He was obedient and he didn't do it. So you can be obedient either way, but I prefer to be obedient when the temptation comes. Not do it. There's escape out of that temptation. But if I make a mistake and I fall, I can say, sorry, learn from it. Next time, I'll be obedient. What I'm saying is you can learn by experience to be obedient. I don't tell you to do that. I did that. It ain't got that good. Or you can be obedient by not doing it. Jesus never did anything wrong. No sin. But he was obedient because every time he came, he says, no, Satan, get away. No. No? So that's obedience. So he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, to the end. And we are going to be here until the change is complete, until Eli dies completely. See? And if I die physically, I trust you. I know you can lay hands on me. So if somebody has to die, I will raise my hand. You want to see the power of God? I take the fall. Well, I'm the oldest one, so I already leave most of my life. So you guys that are studying, you don't want to do that. You got too much going on. Philippians, it says here in 2:8 that I just read. This is the relationship that we should have with the Father. See, it's to be obedient and to be humble. See, that's what Jesus had. He was not conforming. See, that's what I'm saying. We're not conforming to the world. When something happens, we are obedient enough to say, no, that is great to you as obedience. So we are not conforming. Neither we are coming to church, you know, mechanically, you know, every day or doing things mechanically. Well, I'm not supposed to do that because the Bible said that's mechanic. Either it's in you or it's not. It has to be automatically. Right. See? It cannot be, well, I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to, you know, be vengeance or get vengeance. The vengeance is the Lord. Let the Lord do it. But then we're praying, Lord, will you take him and just make him peace out of them or whatever? No. That's unconforming to the word. We need to come and have the word of God every day. Every time we come to renew our minds. You know, to make us different. That's what I want. I want a difference. I don't want to be different. I want a difference in my life. I want to be changed. I want to be renewed. The way I used to think and the way I used to do, I want all that gone. I want a different mentality. I want a different mind. My mind, I already tried it. Seems that I had to die somewhat to my mind because I'm still here. So, and we all here. Something we had to die every day to. It says, and we should discern the will of God, that is the perfect, acceptable, see, word of God. When we are transformed every day, when we are changing, the more we are changed, the more we can discern. See? The people that never change, they're still babies. Because the discernment and the acceptable will of God come with the change. The more I change, the more I'm obedient, the more I humble myself, the more I understand what he wants and what I want, and what he wants is what I want to do anyway. So changes play a big thing in our life because that's all we have is change. I don't know. I was thinking about my wife and their sisters. It was a time when my wife never went over. Let me take a good number. Women don't like to be tall numbers, but let's say 50. I don't know. Every year, how old are you? 50. How old are you? 50. And I said, why? You know, women sometimes don't want to change anyway. So I said, what's the problem here? You've been 53 years, 5 years by now. And she told me one day, well, I cannot move on because my sister don't want to move on. And then the other sister said, well, I'm not moving on because the first one is not moving on. She's stuck on 53 or 55. So when she move on, I move on. See, we don't like changes. That's why sometimes, you know, we don't want to tell how old we are. Because, you know, people say, man, you're too old. I found a better way to do these things now. I went to Mexico and people that I haven't seen for years. So I told them, wow, you look more mature. And they said, oh, no, I didn't say, oh, you look mature. See? And then they look at me and say, but you look more mature. I said, but thank you. Thank you. See? You don't have to call somebody old. Just tell them, you look more mature. So, okay, where I was at. Philippians 3:21. See, we resist changes. This body will resist changes. In fact, I'm not your worst enemy. Your worst enemy is your body. You don't want to change. And you're going to have to make them change. And sometimes there's going to be some pain and some suffering and whatever, but you're going to have to make them change. God is not going to help you. He already gave you everything that you have need of. You need to apply. Take that and apply it to your life. and die daily. You have to kill this guy. He says, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. See, using the power that he will bring all things, see, under control. So we got hope, see, because he will do these things. We have the power that we need right now to change these vile bodies. We do. It is in you right now. Just we have to let that happen. See? So every time something happens in your life, you know there is a change. Let it happen. Figure out what it is. Commit yourself to God and wait on God. You know, be faithful, because that change will take place. And when it takes place, you can sing, victory is mine. See, we don't have to come to church all head down and beat down and whatever. We can come and say, victory is mine. And even your actions declare if you believe or not God. When you're going through that mess, you should still get up and say, victory is mine. See, because God is looking for someone to believe, that believes him. So we have the power to bring everything under his control, and that includes us. Now, Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's the power. That's the power. It says, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also what? Quicken. Amen. See, that's what the Holy Ghost do in my life. He quicken my life. He gives me the power that I require for the change. I don't have to make it happen. He already told me he will do it. He will start the work. He will finish it. All I have to do is just appropriate myself for the power of that Holy Ghost in my life with the right attitude, humble myself, and what? And be obedient. And the change will happen. See, sometimes change don't happen because we don't humble ourselves. We start thinking other things. See, we go again with feelings. Feelings is not God. Feelings is not the word of God. What is feeling? You? So you need to divorce yourself from you. You know, like your first husband died. Your first husband is not alive. Why would you want to bring him alive? Why do you want to, you know, trust in your own feelings? The heart of the man is very, you know, corrupted. You don't even know what comes out of that. So what? We cannot trust it. So if that is the case, then the only thing we can trust that I know it works and never change is the word of God. And I got enough power in me to bring this body to what? To a change. I got to bring my body to what? To a change. I got to birth my body to what? To a change. It doesn't matter what you do, what you do, what you do, what you do. When I come to church, I'm coming because I need more of him so I can birth myself into what? Into this change called the rapture. But that's you. In you. In you. You have to do that. Don't come with somebody else. And don't worry about what somebody is doing to you. Whatever it is, it's part of that change. And when you look at that, you forget your brother. Because it's God doing something, allowing the devil to use even your own wife sometimes to do certain things. It's not your wife, it's the devil. Use your brother to bring a change in you. So you should thank God for your brother. That the devil is using him? No. God allows something. God allows certain spirit to take hold of somebody for you to produce a change in you. So pray. Pray for your enemy. Those ones that curse you. Those ones that say matter or things. See, you ain't got no choice. If you got the spirit of God in your life, you will love that person. Because your response to that person might determine where that person is going to go. See? The destiny of that person, let's say that person is not even a Christian, your reaction to that person can determine his destiny. I was thinking about something wrong. Something came to my mind now. I forgot, but mainly what it was is sometimes we tell people about testify. And sometimes they come and you don't see them anymore. You know, people that you meet at work. See, but your destiny, their destiny is not in your hands if you do the right things. They got to make a choice. We know that. And we didn't do it to hurt anybody. We want everybody to come to salvation. But sometimes that's a problem, that Once a word is rejected. But see, when I don't see those people come back, or I don't hear from them any longer, I still pray for them that God will make another way or bring somebody else. Amen. That don't mean because he didn't respond to me that he's not going to respond. Maybe it's not his time. Maybe God has a time and a place for these people. Maybe not here, but whatever it is, you cannot just, I'm done with you, or I'm done with some. You should pray. You know, Brahman says, if you knew what's coming to this world in the tribulation, you will be in your down in your knees and your face on the ground. You know, if you knew. We don't know. But see, because I don't know, I don't want someone else to go through. I mean, I don't want to go through. You think I want somebody else to go through? So even though they don't respond the way, here we go, the way you think. Now, that's flesh. Because the word said, you testify, you give him the word, and you let God take care of the rest. Not you. But once we put our thinking, our feelings, well, you know, this is how I feel about it. Well, good. You know, I have to do, that don't have nothing to do with the word of God. Says that the spirit of him that raised from the dead and Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies. By what? By his spirit that dwell in one. So there's a requirement. Before your body can be quickened, you have to have the Holy Ghost. That's what we preach, what we preach. Because the Spirit of God who rose Jesus from the dead is living in you right now. That is the power that we need to change our body. And just the same way God raised Christ from the dead, see, he will give life to your mortal bodies, to your bio bodies too. The same Spirit that is living in you this morning. So you got everything you need. You got all the power you need. So what are you seeking? Power. You know, I'm going to tell you what's the problem is. And Brother Doug has said it before, and I'm going to repeat it. Sometimes we're looking for some change, and we're seeking change in somebody else. See, you have a need. You have a need. But you don't have a need to be looking for somebody else to meet your need. Amen. Your need only should be surfaced by him. So every time we're looking at somebody else, see, that's why we look at somebody else for changes. You know, well, I have a need, so if I go to this person, well, what happens when that person don't do it? You get frustrated. Because you had an expectation. You come with an expectation that this is going to happen. And when it don't happen, you get frustrated. Now I ain't coming no more. I don't like that brother. I don't like that sister. Why? Because the change that you need, you're looking in somebody else. Don't look at somebody else. The change that you need is in you already. And the only one can bring the change out of there is him. Through the word and through the Holy Ghost. So coming to church and you know, it's powerful and meaningful to hear the word of God and see what God is trying to speak to me. You know, we come to church and sometimes, well, I didn't hear nothing. No change. So that person might live the same way. You know, I must say this. It was a person that told another person, a brother, that's another brother, what is your expectation for service? And he says, depend. And the other brother said, depend on what? Depend on who is preaching. Is that going to change you? I'll leave it there. Just think about it. Because sometimes we don't even come. Depends. Wow. You know what? Don't do that to me. And you have a very, very low expectation if you're looking at me. As a preacher, I'm not a preacher. I'm nobody. You should be looking at the word. You should be fixing yourself in Christ. You know, I don't care who comes over here. It's the Holy Ghost that is going to preach. And my expectation is, and I don't care if it's a donkey that's going to preach. I'm not a donkey, but God used a donkey anyway. A donkey, there's something for me. Not from that donkey, but something had to come out that is going to touch my heart. And if not, then I'm coming in vain. There's no expectation. Is that your expectation? It's very low. I'm surprised of you if that's what you think. I don't think you think that, but I heard that. So, listen to me. Your expectations should be that the word will come in such a power. Not me. His power. The spirit that is in you, the same spirit that is in me. I need change. You think this is just you? You think I'm preaching here because you need it and I don't? I already preached this twice. See? I need it just as much. And if I have a low expectation on me, I will never be changed. But see, I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting in His Word. I'm trusting that I seek His Spirit and His mind on what I'm supposed to speak today because I need it. So I'm selfish in that thing. I need this. You don't want it? That's all right. I got it. And I can, you know, eat this thing and do like a cow. Just swallow it and bring it back, regurgitate again and get chewing. The Spirit of God writes Jesus. So Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. He says, Paul, and in the fellowship of His what? Dying is suffering. I haven't even seen one person that is dying and their family that suffers. But Paul is willing to what? To suffer anything for the change. Maybe 2 hours of service. And then he might suffer. You know, we suffer all kind of ways, you know. It's not only, you know, pain, but you know, I'm adjusted already so many years now. So, in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. You know what I mean? Conformable is to conform. Not to conform to the world, but conform to His death. That's how much we had to suffer. You know? So if we had to, we are being shaped and we are being formed to conform all the way to His death. What do you think is going to happen to you? Well, you're going to, you know, Jesus went through that and you are going to go through that too. Now he says, so Paul is talking about the supreme passion that he had in his life. Now, it was not only to know. You got know and, see? I may know Him and. So those two had the same power. They have this in the same level. You cannot say, I know Him, unless you want experience, unless you have the power of His resurrection. That is the Holy Ghost. No, I may know Him. Now, some people know about God, but they don't know God.
Right.
See? And some people know Him, but they don't know about the power of the resurrection, don't have the Holy Ghost. Because that is the power of the resurrection. That will quicken your body. He says, but and the fellowship of His suffering. How many of you suffer these years in church at the hand of your brother or sister? Okay, you don't have to bring your hand up. God can bring suffering any kind of way. And you don't have no, you cannot complain and you cannot tell God, you know, I'm right and you're wrong. I'm the referee here. Why? No, you can't. He can use anything one he wants to. If you haven't suffered yet, you will suffer. And if God will use me or use you or whoever, somebody out there to bring that, you should be glad that God is doing something in your life. That is the attitude. It's not that your brother is doing something in your life. God is bringing a change in your life. Yeah, I haven't seen yet. I'm trying to finish, but when you join a church, the message said, it's just like finding a wife. Right or not? Amen?
Yeah.
That's the truth. Now, when you marry your wife, you know, when I marry my wife, I'm going to talk about myself because I cannot use you guys because you get mad at me. I don't even know you guys. That's what I don't talk about. But I know my wife and I know my life. When I married my wife, well, before I married her, we was dating. I was blind in love. Ah, she was perfect. She's still perfect in a different way. She's perfect, yeah. In Christ, she's perfect. But I thought she was perfect. And then when I married her, then that's when you start learning the person you marry. You start on this thing. So the first thing I learned from my wife, the first thing I learned that she gave me a third degree. I didn't know she was that way. I never had an argument when I was dating because I would see her once a week or maybe once a week. But that was perfect, see? So she gave me, the first thing I learned, she has something called the third degree. And she said that she won't speak to me for 2 days. That, I mean, but you think I left her? So you come to church and something happened and you want to run? Supposed to be like a wife. So she did that to me for a while. And if I wanted to argue, she just go and she leave. Oh, made me so mad. But anyway, because I am the different way. I like to finish my arguments. The Bible says not to, you know, let the sun set on your anger. So I already knew enough that I didn't want to go to sleep mad. Because I don't know if I die that night and she won't have time to make restitution or whatever. So, made me mad. But anyway, I left her alone. Years and years. Then she started changing. Now she argued with me. My wife is a person that goes from one extreme to the other extreme. There's no middles. If I push her, she's here, and I push, she goes there. And I don't like now this argument because I don't want to. She argued with me now, and I had to now. So what I'm saying is I liked her better when she didn't argue. But see, you have to have something to compare. Greg, you're just starting. You're going to find out what I'm talking about. I'm elder, so you're going to learn from me. I've been through there, and I'm coming back. So the next thing I learned from her, but let's leave it there. Okay, one more. And I know you guys gone through this. The toilet, right? The lid of the toilet. I go and I leave it up. And she falls on me because she wanted down. So when she, yeah, okay. So I go, you know, and I'm like to, and she goes and she put it down. And I go and I put it up. And she falls on me because I leave it up. And I force on her because she leaves it down. You know, I get up at night. I don't leave this thing down. I can see sometimes at night. But anyway, all I'm saying is you're going to learn a lot in a marriage, right? That's right. But you don't. I see you together. I don't see you guys trying to pull and say, I'm done. I didn't want this. I didn't sign for this. When you come to church, it's the same thing. Things are going to happen. In fact, when you come, the first time you come to this church, it's glorious. Oh, my brother, that brother, this is the best secret kept in this town. Oh, that brother, oh, that shirt, oh, that music. Oh, and then a few years come by. And you know the rest of the story. But that what I said, that is, you don't leave your mate because you don't agree. You try to figure out. Be patient. And then tolerate, you know, each one. Because things will change. That's what happened to the young people. What happened to young people where they're going to a transition? Life is a change. They're going from being a girl to being a woman, from being a boy to being a man. And it's a transition. That's an awful transition. I've been through there, believe it or not. I was a teenager once. I didn't drop from a coconut tree this, you know, like this. I know what it is. I did my things. I was trying to find my identity. I was rebellious. I was all that because I'm going through a transition. You know, I had to leave home. You know, no, I got to go to war. Things are hard. So my life, you know, my family had to prepare me. Parents, to what? To be a good citizen. To be able to be a responsible citizen and do whatever. And they're trying their best. But I'm over here kind of rebellious because I'm looking at something else. But in those years, you got to be patient with your teenagers. Because they're trying to find themselves. They're going through a lot. You don't think so. Just because you already went through and you're an adult, you don't forget what you've been. Because that's what happened. We forget. I told my wife, I'm the same way. I was the same way. So, but see, my mom was patient with me. My dad was patient with me. The only thing you can do, Brother Brown says, I read it somewhere, he says, I don't know what my children are going to do when they, you know, 18, when they leave. You know, Sarah and Rebecca and Billy. He says, I don't know. I don't have no assurance the way they're going to turn out. I have no assurance. But he says, I did what I'm supposed to do. Teach your children the way they should go so they will not depart from that way. Later on, sooner or later, God will turn them back around somewhere, someplace. Just help them to make the transition from a girl to a woman. Okay? But not criticize them. See? So we have to be very patient. So, with our children, with our wife, with church, because we're still all growing, and I'm going to make mistakes. And I want you to forgive me and tolerate me and be patient with me, and I will do the same. He says, the supreme passion of his life was to know Christ. See, not only to know Christ. See, that's where we come. We want to know Christ. I don't want to know about Christ. I want to know Christ. But he says also, I want to experience. Now, this is the word I want you to say. I want to experience the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Because if that power is not in you, you are not going to get up. If you die, or when the change of body comes, you are not, you need to know that power, how? By experience. How do you experience that? How do you experience God when you come to service? When you're sick and you feel and you get healed, when something happened in your life and God does something for you, then you start experiencing God. When you go to a trouble, you go for a mess, what do you do? And God take you out of that. What are you doing? You're experiencing. Every time you come, every time, every day, our task is to experience God in everything that I do. Not complain that this guy is messing with me or he want to do this or this guy is complaining. No, on all that mess, God wants to bless you. God wants you to have an experience with him in the middle of chaos. Because that's the only way he can do it. That is the way his plan is. So if you, you know, be patient, you know, and wait, you see victory. Not only victory, but you see a victory in the change. Because that's why you're going to rejoice. You're not rejoicing because it's just victory, because something has changed in your life. Let me find a place to pull, then I can finish tonight. It's already in the past. That I may know him, not to know about him, but to know him. And to know him is, I'm going to finish with this note, and to know him is to what? To love him. It is, right? So if you know God, then you love God. But the Bible said in 1 John 4:20, if a man says, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For the love of what? God is not in what? In him. See? How can he love God and he can love, you know, his brother? So love manifests through us as a way we behave to one another. How do I love my brother? It's the revelation that I have, supposedly, of how God loved me. He forgave me. He had mercy and grace. So I should love the same way Christ loved the church. I mean, if I had the same spirit in me, should I do the same? I'm going to finish with that in a minute. Let me continue. Let me see. And we leave the rest of it for tonight. He says, how do we know we love God? Just by saying it? It is not just a saying it, because people said, I got faith, but if faith don't have work, it's what? If we love God and it's no work, it's no manifestation, it's dead. He says, so we know that we love God by how we treat one another, manner of life that we live in, our conduct and our behavior. If you line up with the word of God. Now, I'm not 24 hours seeking you and following you to see what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You know if you line up or not. I don't have to. You don't have to have a guard or a policeman, a deacon to you know, check you. See? Now, we know here in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you. A new commandment. It's not an option, Brother Dutch. Either you do or you don't. You just gotta do it. It's a commandment. One time they gave me an order when I was in the army, and I just plainly said, no, I'm not gonna do it. I didn't like the way it was. It was this shout to me. But I was rebellious against an order anyway, like it or not. See? Feelings. So they wanted to give me an Article 15 for that. Whatever you know that, they take you to court and you have to pay some money and they take money out of your pocket. See? But you don't rebel against a commandment because you are being rebellious. He says, a commandment is given unto you that you love one another. How do you love one another? The same love you got for God, it should be manifested. Let me put it this way. The love of God should be reflecting to you. Why do Brother Brown say sometimes some people like to be around some people and not other people?
Right.
Sometimes you see the brother coming or the sister in that side and you walk to, because, you know, why is that? We are not all the same. I'm not wired up the same way Salinas is wired up. I'm different. I'm from Puerto Rico. He's from whatever. I don't know. Where you came from? Mexico? New Mexico. He says new. Make sure New Mexico. New Mexico is there. Anyway. So, it doesn't matter. We need to love each other the same way. He says, that love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. The way you love someone else, I can tell if you understand the love that God has for you or not. Because he says, there's no other way. There's just one way, and that is the same love that I have loved you. You need to love one another. Because if you don't, that's not the love of God. Change. We're talking about changes. If a change is happening in your life, this is thing has to be reflecting out of your life. The time is short. In fact, I don't even know if it's short. It's over almost. We need to look for change. Not here, not there. You need to look for change. Find out where you are. Find out where you need to move. Find out what God is requiring. If you don't see this in your life, then get busy and get it. Because without it, we are not going to make it. Without love, divine love, we in everything out there is going to be love. So, one more, a couple of things and I'm finishing. Your manner of conversation, see? Conversation means the way you behave, the way you talk, the way you act, the manner, all this conversation. We show how much you love one another. The way you interact with one another, the way you talk to one another. You know, the way you check hands with one another or don't check hands with one another. Either way, don't have nothing to do because that's his whole feelings. Well, that sister didn't check my hand. She didn't even look at me when she went by and said, God bless you. But that's my feelings. That is not the word of God. I mean, that's my feeling. I feel that way. So after I feel that way, I say, well, maybe she was busy, or maybe she was in thought, or maybe he didn't see me. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. Because if I continue dwelling in those feelings, you know what happens? It comes through. See? It comes through. Okay, no, and this is not by work of righteousness, Titus 3:5. No, not by works of righteousness. We're not checking boxes. You know, this has to be true automatically. The love of God is in our life. We've reflected. See, not by our own works we have done. Because if we do it by works, if I love you because you love me, don't the publican do the same thing? According to the mercy that he has saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'll get on that later to talk about that. But I want to finish with this. I think I wrote it down there. I want to finish with this. It says, this is a commentary in the Derby, so commentary. It is better to be like him in our hearts, not in our minds. It says, stand up because I'm going to finish. But I want to read this. His true image is that we should feel as he does. So we should feel the way he felt. He humbled himself, he was obedient, and he loved us when we was unlovable. Should think as he does. That's why we have the mind of God. Our think is things. We need his thinking. Should will is he what he does. The same will. Let the will in heaven be the will of what? In earth. As it is in heaven, it be in earth. See, we want to do what's right. That we should have the same what sympathy that he had for us. The same love that he has for us. The same attitude towards God that he has. And the same attitude toward what? One another. So now you know you're being changed. When you start seeing this thing reflecting out of your life, then you know you are going forward. it is that his heart in ours should beat in a full accord. And then we're talking about, you know, one of these days the bride is going to be one accord in one mind in one day, and we're going to have this power. You be one accord with him first. Yes. Right. Because when you do that, then the other happens automatically with the body. Because we cannot one be out and one in. So find yourself trying to get in one accord with his word. You know, the same thought, the same feeling that he had, the same thing that he had. Check yourself. Check. I had to check myself. If that is what I got, that's what I'm feeling. We don't go by feelings, but as we one pulse and possessing one life, that's where you possess your life. Your life is in him. It's not even yours. He bought you. So we owe them everything. I'm going to stop right here and then I'll continue tonight with the rest of it. So let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for such a powerful, meaningful word in our life that changed our lives. That, Father, to your image, that's the image you saw before the foundation of the world. It is your son. We want to love like he loved. We want to walk like he walked. We want to be obedient like he was obedient. We want to be in one accord with your word. And as soon as we do that, we'll be in one accord with each other. That's what the fellowship we're looking for, is the fellowship with you in your suffering, Father. And then bring our life, line up with your word, with your will. And when that starts happening, we're going to start coming together, Father. But not before. Because we are looking at a change and we are looking at all the outside of us. It's not outside of us. It is in all this, it's in us. And it's our responsibility to let God bring all this out of our lives so we can get out of here. And then we can start manifesting his spirit in the services. We start loving each other. And one of these days, Satan won't be able to do anything with us. We are so saturated, like a sponge. We soak your life in our life. We let you have preeminence. We let you enthrone yourself in our hearts, and Satan won't be able to do anything. Yes. Father, in fact, Brother Brown says, one of these days, you know, sin cannot come through those doors because your body is going to be so saturated with your spirit in fire that Satan will not find. In fact, he's going to have to stay outside until we finish. It's not welcome here. But your life has to set down. Father, thank you again this morning for your precious word, Father. It's more than life to us. And that is what we want to be. We want to be your word made flesh. And I don't have to want to be. It just, that's the way it's going to be. If I just let go and let God finish the work in my life and resist everything that comes against that word, Father. Even my own feelings, my own thoughts, my own logic. Because in that you are working something in my life that I had need of. I don't know what I have need of. And you bring the circumstances, the situation in my life, so that I have need of, that is in me, will come. And then I will be a changed person. And that's what we want. We love you, Lord, for your plan of salvation. We love you for brothers and sisters. We love you for this church. Our pastor, we love you, Lord, because we are a group, Father, that are in love with you, not with each other, but we fall in love with you. We're sure we have to love one another, Father. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you, Father, for what you have done in our life. We love you. Terrible, terrible, Father. We love you, Father. Help us. Help us to show that and manifest that to another. Not only one another, but those that we cross paths at there. At work, at school. Because they're looking for something that is reality. They're looking for something that is real. And if the only way they're going to see it is here, Father. And I want to be changed so they can see the living God in my life, so they can then long for that I long so much for. We praise you, Lord. Tonight, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to your name. In Jesus' name, we ask you all this time. Make it better. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Start with me, Lord. With me. I'm not looking nowhere else but me. I feel like you again. Change my heart, oh God. It's my desire this morning. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. I want to be, Lord, like Christ. You are the potter. You are the potter. Whatever it comes, Lord, situations, challenge, trials. Amen. We cannot complain, Lord. You have done so much for us. Oh, grant it, Lord. You mean it this morning? Change my heart, oh God. He's such a tender, loving God this morning.
May I be like you. Sing it one more time. Just change my heart, oh God.